It's a good morning, amen? I trust we're filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, filled with His loving kindness, filled with His goodness constantly. He loves you and He desires to do that for you. I so appreciated the songs this morning, the direction of them, and just the exhortation about the fact that He's really calling us up higher so He can go deeper, so that we can actually have more of His heart and His understanding and His goodness flowing through our lives on a regular basis. How many would say amen to that? So He's calling us up higher so He can go deeper in our lives. I was just curious this week as to what some of Siri's thoughts were. And so I asked her, I said, Siri, where will we find Jesus? And I was kind of disappointed. I probably shouldn't share this. You'll probably want a new pastor after this. But her response was, sorry, I couldn't find Him in your contacts. I really felt bad after hearing that. I thought, Siri, you're not even saved. How do you know? You know something? That sometimes can be said of us, isn't it? Like, where is Jesus in our life, and how do we keep Him on the front burner where He not only deserves to be, but wants to be, so that He can lead us and guide us? How many know that somebody behind you can't lead you and guide you? But He wants to be right in front of us. He wants to be right with us. And I want to talk about that. I want to go through, you can go ahead and pass out those notes if you would, please. I want to go through some thoughts this morning as we enter into the 21-day fast. And I know we've only had a couple weeks' notices on this. And so oftentimes when you do a 21-day fast, you want maybe a lot more notice so you can plan your day and plan your schedule. We're going to do it. I do apologize for the short notice, but I really felt quickened a couple weeks ago that we really needed to do this. It was time. God was calling His people to a higher level of response, to the response of the work of the enemy in the earth today. And we've seen this and being stirred up and just all the stuff that's going on with our government and all of that. Guess what? Honestly, I know we maybe don't think this a lot, but Jesus is still the only answer for even our government. Come on, He leads them whether they like it or not, whether they're saved or not. It says He can lead them. He leads the kings, and we must always remember that. But on the other side of it, I remember having a book by Ern Baxter, an old theologian, amazing guy like Derek Prince type of a guy. And he had a book that he had written. I have a book he had written. It's called His Part and Our Part. And we know that God is the power, He's the strength, He's everything behind everything. But how many know He's also raising up a church to take on the responsibility and the authority that He's given to us? And I so appreciate the response about the prayer thing, because I was going to come up here and do that exact same thing. I think God wants us to begin to push a little bit beyond our boundaries, push beyond what we are settling for, and go beyond that. And if we will, guess what? God will absolutely move. Maybe we have to become the persistent woman toward the judge. God, we're here to just press for more of not what we want, but what Your promises say. Right? And it's more than a promise. It's actually a covenant. It's actually a will that You have in Your hand that was signed by blood for you to take and live by. And so He is standing behind it. His name is on all of this. And sometimes, as we see in the Scriptures, there just needs to be a little bit more persistence on our part, because sometimes what God's doing is much greater than even the healing that He will do. And again, we could go through, and we have lots of testimonies of healings. I've been healed miraculously, and many of you have also. But then sometimes we can settle back for maybe a little bit less than what we should be walking in our day. Because how many know God is progressively unfolding and fulfilling His plan and purpose. We have to see bigger than even just a healing. We have to see much bigger than that. And that's what I want to look at this morning, because I think it's critical for us not to miss this. Let me read just a couple opening scriptures for us. Matthew chapter 6, and you have some notes there, and we'll sort of follow them, but that's even more a devotional for this upcoming 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I have mentioned before, and there's a handout at the counter, and many of you received it last week. We're calling it a 21-day multi-fast. And by that, there's various fasts that we see in the Scripture, which, by the way, the 21-day fast comes out of the book of Daniel. And guess what? Daniel has some of the greatest revelation of any book in the Bible concerning the end times and concerning Christ. If you read the book, you'll see right off the bat he fasts for 10 days. He has a 10-day fast. Remember, he goes before the king. They're in the Babylonian captivity. They go before the king, and he says, hey, I'm not going to eat any meats or delicacies or whatever that consists of. I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to show you that I'm going to be stronger than those that are eating all those things. And so he starts that and begins to get some unfolding of some amazing revelation. But then in chapter 9 is where we come to the 21-day fast. And once he gets into that, then you start reading the prophetic word that he has about Christ and his next second coming and all of this. It just explodes, and it becomes one of the greatest books. You can't really understand what the end times are going to be about at all if you don't understand the book of Daniel. It's right there. It's tied together with that. You have to understand that. And so we see this coming out of a fast and seeing the value and the importance of fasting itself. And so we've kind of put together what would be called the 21-day multi-fast, which would include the four different types of fast. If you have this from last week, you'll have this in it. And so I'm just going to skim through it quickly, but I don't want to miss it. There's a fast where it's completely just water only for whatever amount of days that there is, that you call that fast, whether it be 10 days, 21 days, 3 days, 1 day, whatever it is, but it's just strictly water. The second one is fasting with juice and liquids only, and smoothies and that type of thing. Which doesn't mean you can overdo it with those things, okay? You can't have a smoothie every 5 minutes just to do it. The third type of fast is the Daniel fast, which in the brochure that we put together has Jensen Franklin's website, which probably has some of the greatest teaching, some of the greatest information on the Daniel fast that I've seen. So I've just put those references in there. There's no sense in trying to beat that. You can go there, you can hear some amazing sermons on it, you can get some great, amazing information, as well as you can get different recipes for that, so that you can see what it consists of. And then the last one that we put down here is just a specific fast, which would have to do with media habits, electronics, etc., that type of thing. And I would encourage everybody to step into this fast with us as a church. God loves unity. He loves for all of us to do it. So whatever you feel that God is putting on your heart to do, whether it be a complete fast for 21 days, whether it be a complete fast for a few days, and then maybe a Daniel fast for a while, Daniel fast for the whole thing, or maybe just a combination of those, that you step into it. I would encourage you to make sure you pray. There's no sense in fasting if you don't pray. If you fast without praying, you're just on a diet. It'll help you, but it's probably not going to help you spiritually like you could be helped. And I would challenge us up in our prayer times, maybe that you would double what you're doing now. So if you're praying one time a day, maybe you would just say, you know, during this 21 days, I'm going to pray 2 times a day, or whatever it might be. If you're not praying once a day, maybe that would be your challenge. I'm going to step up, and every day I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend some time with the Father. Because it's critical, because you can't have relationship without communication. Right? You just can't. And so we have to take that time to communicate with Him and get into a level of communication. And so I want to just challenge us up. And the next part that I'm going to challenge us up, and again, this will be a sacrifice, but that's okay. That's good for us sometimes, Katie was saying, to stretch ourselves out of our box sometimes. And I'm asking everyone to either lead be a part of a small prayer group over this next 21 days that would meet three times during that 21 days. Some of you in this room should lead a group. You may never have led one here, but maybe you just need to grab a few people, three or four people, and say, hey, would you pray with me? We're going to do it this day, and this day, at this time, and go for it. And if you're not of that makeup and you really don't feel led to lead, I want to encourage you to be a part of one. Find one. And there's many of them going already. There's the Monday men's prayer, which will be dedicated to that every Monday morning. There's the Schroeder's Luncheon, which they will be dedicating some of their time to prayer. It's going to be the Schroeder Luncheon list. And they're going to pray. No, I'm not sure what they're going to do. there's the ladies' prayer on Tuesday evening. There's different small groups, the Taylor groups, the Buster groups, different groups that you can be a part of. Sam has a group going on Wednesdays. And I just want to challenge you to stretch yourself. If we don't sacrifice, we'll stay exactly where we're at personally. I have found that to be true every time. I've got to stretch myself. And so I just want to encourage us as a body, again, to step into this next 21 days. It's critical. Now let's talk a little bit about the fast. I want to read two verses which are on the notes. I'm not sure if they're written out or just the verses, but they should be up on the screen here. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. It says, but when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, which I recommend that every day, okay, even if you're not fasting. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, we understand what he's saying here. He's not saying that we all keep it a secret, never mention fasting in the church, and never have group fasting, because we know that there are corporate fastings throughout the Scripture. Everybody is called to the fast. I think even animals were called once, right? In Nineveh, I think it was. Everybody was made to fast because of the criticalness of it. And so Matthew chapter 6 says, but when you fast. And Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. And these things came to me. I was just praying one morning, just saying, God, we're in such a critical place. If you really think about it. I don't know if you think about this, if you thought about this. But we're not going to reverse this whole nuclear situation. It's not going to be reversed. It is going to be in the hands of the wrong people. You know what I mean? I mean, let's just be honest. It's already in the hands of the wrong people. We already have kind of a guy that's a little bit out of the box that has his own nuclear situation. We see the threats and the continued threat. That's not going to change. I don't see there's any way possible to get rid of that without what? Blowing up a whole nation. With nuclears. And so we realize that that's just not going to happen. And we're recognizing that we're living in some critical days. Amen. And again, I mean, say it again. The only answer is the church. Amen. He's the one that can stop all the bombs. Amen? Yes. He can just stop. He can do what he wants to do. Yes. And yet we've been given this authority by Christ. Are we really using it? And this is what I'm saying. I want us to begin to realize we have got to stretch ourselves out of the box. We got to come to a new level. We got to get to a new place as we pursue Christ for what he has in mind. Matthew chapter 9 says this here. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, and again, I'm not saying this about the nuclear stuff to strike any kind of fear in you. It's not about that. It's just, let's be real. Let's just be real about it. If we're not real about it, then we won't be real about the solution to it. If we just think that somehow somebody's going to get the answer to this thing and everybody's going to unplug their nuclears and burn them, then we're not going to pray like we probably need to pray, knowing that there's nuclears all over the place. And you hear what I'm saying? You know, so it's not a matter of fear. I'm not afraid of it. I mean, honestly, if it goes off, we just get to heaven sooner, right? I'm secure. How about you? I'm secure in Christ with my salvation. I know exactly where I'm going when I die. Okay, it truly is. We say it a lot. It's a win-win. Okay, But it's not a win-win for those that are not saved. And Jesus wants every man to be saved, the Bible says. That's what he says. So loved the world, I gave his only begotten son, the whole world he has on his heart, to be saved. And so is he waiting for some more? Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. Matthew 9, 14 through 17. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees, I love it, the Pharisees, fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Now listen to his response. And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into the old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. But the wine is spilled. The wineskins are ruined, but they put new wine into wineskins, and both of them are preserved. I felt like the Lord spoke to me and say, he wants to pour some new wine into you. But in order for him to do that, he's got to do something to your wineskins. And however you define the wineskins, there's so many different definitions out there. It's kind of crazy. Some say it's your structure of life. Some say it's your character. It's and different things. Maybe you just need to ask the Lord, what is your wineskin? Let the Holy Spirit, who's the best teacher, teach you. But I'm just telling you what he's saying is you have to have some new wineskin in order for him to pour that new wine in. Some people are dry and they're thirsty today as a believer, which in our minds should be impossible. It should be impossible. For we have the living water. Where? Inside of us. So it should be impossible for us to be there. But maybe there's an issue with our wineskins, and so we can't continue to fill you up like he'd like to do. And so you're feeling some staleness, you're feeling some emptiness, you're feeling whatever you're feeling. And the Holy Spirit is here to say today, he wants to put new wine in you, but he might need to do something to your wineskin. And I'm hoping through the fast, because that seems to be the way that they turned every time in Scripture, that they were running dry or they were starting to lose battles and all of that in the Scripture. Every time they finally got to the place where they did what? They called a fast and they returned to the Lord and he answered them, because he loves to answer you. He wants to answer you. He wants to give you the answers. He paid the price, as it was said this morning. He paid the price for all of our sickness. Your salvation includes the whole package, not just part of it. And so we need to just continue to let that be our proclamation, or else what do? We get weary, and then pretty soon we're just sitting back and we're living with it. And I think it's time for us as believing believers to step up a little bit further, no matter what we see, because we don't walk by faith. How do we walk? We do, don't we? What's that? Did I say it backwards? I didn't hear it backwards, okay? Anyway, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by
faith.
All right, good deal. Phew. Yeah, really. All right, now that you're on the same page, look at your notes on the back side of them. I'd like to just take a few minutes and go through this. And again, I'm not going to go through it in great depth. But what I did do was I put plenty of scriptures on it for you. And I would challenge you through the course of this fast to read those scriptures. And again, ask the best teacher, the Holy Spirit, to just open up the eyes of your understanding. I think it's going to be absolutely amazing, to be honest with you. I think he's going to maybe take care of some old wineskins through this. And he's going to give us the capacity to contain even more of what he calls the new wine. All right, number one, the results of fasting should be these several things, or eight things. Number one, to refresh a conversational relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit. I put down this: it is not sufficient to do spiritual activities because this is not this is not what God is after in your life first. But what he's after is to know you, to have a relationship with you. And a relationship is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's a, I talk to him and I hear him talk back to me. How many believe that God can speak to you? I mean, we believe that. We should believe that. It says it in the Bible. We've probably heard it more than what we think, because sometimes we think we want to hear a certain way, and God says, no, I've already been speaking to you, and I am speaking to you. I'm going to continue to speak to you. But it goes beyond just saying, well, I read the Bible, so God spoke to me through the Bible. It goes beyond that. It doesn't go past it, but it goes beyond it. If you're not hearing his voice speak to you in other ways about your life personally, putting your name in there somehow, then you might not be having that type of connection that you need to have with him, that conversational relationship that is very real. We had our alarm system go down this last week, and I called the repair guy over. I think repair guys either just really don't want to come here anymore, or they love to come here. I haven't decided yet, but nonetheless, I called him over. He got done with his job. He fixed it, and so I asked him my favorite question. So, do you have any kind of spiritual background? Oh, well, yeah, I'm Baptist. I grew up in a Baptist church, and went to that. And I said, oh, really? I said, so where are you going to church now? Oh, nowhere. I said, oh, really? I wonder why. That just seems odd to me that somebody that is a believer would not be in a community of believers, a church somewhere. Oh, well, and he went down the whole list of things that we all have. I'm too busy. My father was a deacon in the church, and it was political. You know, just the whole list of things. And so I just listened to him for a while, and we had an amazing conversation before it was all said and done. You could feel the Holy Spirit moving on the guy. I'm going to follow up with him. But, you know, he said these words. He says, you know, you said a few things that spoke exactly to my heart and what God was speaking to me. Isn't that just God to do that? See, it's important that we begin to speak. Remember, we've been talking about it. The scripture says you are the oracle of God, or you are the voice of God. And so what it did was bear witness with what the Holy Spirit was already talking to him. And we got to talk a little bit about, you know, a relationship. I was actually was able to work in sharing my testimony with how I got saved. And I said, man, if he can speak to me, I know he can speak very clearly to you. And you already have the word knowledge to some degree in your life. And it was just a great conversation. But see, we need to have that ongoing thing, because he thought he was doing all right. He says, oh, I do good things. I do this. Well, really, no. That's not good. That's not what God wants, right? He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you to learn how to talk to him and to hear him and to communicate back to him. He wants you to have a conversational relationship with him. He doesn't even want you to come to church if you don't have that. I hope you understand how I'm saying that. But he's more interested in you personally than anything spiritual you might do. And that's what point number one is. And there's many scriptures there that I gave you. And I think if you read those, you might be amazed. The 2 Peter 1:2 says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as what? As you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And that word knowledge there and the word knowing, whenever it's related with Jesus, always has to do with an intimate relationship. So how's your personal conversational relationship with God by the Holy Spirit? Is it ongoing? Are you talking to him? Is he talking back to you? Are you hearing him? That type of thing. And so I just want to encourage you as we go through this fasting time. I tell you, if anything will bring that up, it will. You'll first hear your soul and your flesh screaming at you. Okay, that's that kind of storm that Elijah was talking about. Well, he's not in a storm, but where he was in that still small voice. And if you will persist through and break through, you'll break open that that conversational relationship with Him. Number two, to be spiritually aware of what God is doing now so that you can partner with Him. You see, God called you out and gave you a future and a hope. He gave you something to do. He created you as a master craftsman. He created you in your mother's womb so that you could fulfill some of what His plan of redemption is for the world. Isn't that amazing? He put those things in you, your personality, and of course sometimes our personalities need to be, you know, smoothed out by the Holy Spirit, but He gave you your personality, He gave you your skills and your abilities, and He gave you your personality so that you could do what? You could display His glory. And I want to do a teaching on that sometime because I've been exploring this whole thing about, you know, what does it mean to have God's glory? It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing, but we can't go there right now. Okay? So He wants you to be spiritually aware of what He's doing and partner with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, on your notes there, says to be spiritually minded it's in contrast to being carnally minded or fleshly minded in that whole system that Paul talks about. And I encourage you again, as you read those, just ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, how do I fit with these things? The third thing is to release the supernatural that is in you. You see, we're not looking for the supernatural out there, are we? He put it in us. He put the gifts and the talents and the abilities. He put those in you. And that's why when He went to the cross and He went to heaven and He poured out His Spirit, what did He say? I am going to do what? I'm going to empower you. I'm going to put dynamite in you. I'm going to put My power in your body. And you're going to be able to operate and function with that. How many know that we shouldn't settle for less than that? And how many know that the only way that we're not going to settle for less, because you have, like Paul was saying, the spiritual, your natural mind is going to fight against the spiritual, is that we've got to just keep on praying, keep on believing, keep on proclaiming what the Word of God says. And if somebody's sick, He said to do what? We all know it. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How many times do I have to do that? I don't know. He didn't say when to stop. Right? He just said, keep doing it. And we've seen miracles, and I believe that as in the day that we're moving in, that we will see more miracles than ever before, because Jesus used miracles to attract the people to lead them to Christ. That was His old ministry, right? Teach, preach, and heal. And so He wants us to have that same heart and that same desire. But can I just throw this in? Jesus waited 33 years for ministry, or 30 years, and He had a 3.5-year ministry that we know of. And sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's a while. So to release the supernatural that's already in you, I wonder this morning if I asked you, when was the last time you saw the supernatural released out of your life, what would be your response? Would it be frustration? Disappointment? Would it be, I've decided that that might not be quite what it means? Is it, I've changed my theology based on what I see or what I've experienced? Or do I keep bringing myself back to the Word of God because it's going to be true? Yeah. It's going to be true. It's never a liar. Yeah. It's going to be eternal. Yeah. And will He find that faith in your heart when He comes? Yeah. The fourth thing is, and the whole idea of fasting and praying and things that we've seen throughout the Scripture is that so that we can stand in the gap for people. We can stand in the gap for people. As I'm fasting, I'm going to be thinking when I'm not enjoying it, what am I doing this for? Well, because I want to stand in the gap for people. And we see that throughout Scriptures when they prayed, they fasted, they came together. What for? For the sake of the people. You know, I think that when I thought about this one here, to stand in the gap, I thought for the city, for our city. Are we standing in the gap for our city, for our nation, and for our world? And the Holy Spirit just said, that's intercessory prayer. And I begin to read through some of those different scriptures. And what I begin to realize is that intercessory prayer, it certainly can be for yourself, but it seems to be often for others. That I'm praying for others. I see my city as in great need. How many think our city is in need? Yes. we live in a great place, as was said. We really do. We live, you know, we live in a great place. But are we praying for that city? Are we praying for the peace of our city? Are we just thinking that it's just happening? It just happens to be that way. Or what are we doing to make a difference? Do you think you can make a difference in your city? See, I mean, because really I need to know that I need to make a difference. We have it fairly safe out here, but guess what? There's an awful lot of people out here that are safely unsaved. And the greatest need would be for them to be saved, not unsaved. And what my point here is intercessory prayer, I think, and again, I don't want to put it in too small of a box, but it seems that intercessory prayer needs to have compassion. And it seems to be that every time that Jesus approached somebody that he healed or delivered or cast a demon out of them, it says this, and you can research it out. Just do a search on the word compassion in the Bible. And it said, and he had compassion. And then he prayed for them. And I think he wants to stir that same thing in us. Why? Because out of compassion, virtue can come out of me. And I'm ready to give it away. I'm not trying to hang on to what I have for me, which I don't even realize I do, but I probably do. But I have this compassion. All of a sudden, I start thinking out, and I start thinking about other people. And God begins to give me the prayers to pray and the things to do to help and to be a part of his great redemptive plan. How many can say amen to that? The fifth thing is to care for the needy. And we've talked about that. Prayer was awesome on Friday. I think it was Chelsea that was talking about a part of James. And you know, we were focusing on the book of James through the whole prayer meeting. But the part about caring for the needy was not just for those that are hungry, naturally, but it was for the other needy, all the needy people, the orphans that actually have parents, but they're orphans. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You know, that type of thing. So we stretch ourselves out. So as I fast, am I going to increase? I'm going to increase in the care for the needy. Number six, to activate the gifts and talents God has given to his church. And this is similar to the other one we talked about, releasing the Spirit, but yet I believe it's a little bit different, is to activate the gifts and talents God has given to his church, or maybe I can narrow it down to his people. And I wrote this statement down. It's not original, but it goes like this. We are not waiting on God. He's waiting on us. Amen. How many can say a real big amen to that? Amen. I mean, that's really true, isn't it? He's already given us this. He's already given us his life. He's already given us his own spirit, his own spirit, his own spirit. And now we have the ability, and he forms you with these things to be able to use them. But yet they need to be activated. Well, through some time spent with him, and more extra time spent with him, and with some fasting, and with some putting off of some things, I think you're going to begin to see, wow, that's right. And so all I put down on this particular verse were the two chapters that deal with all of the different gifts of the Holy Spirit that are there for us. And he says, hey, they're there, and they're available. And I just wonder, how can I activate those, God? How can I activate those? Seven, to break the intimidation that silences us or immobilizes the gospel in us. To break the intimidation that silences us or immobilizes us in the gospel. I say this because I face it. I think maybe we all do, or many of us do. We find ourselves in a situation where we feel a little bit of a prompting to maybe witness to somebody, and we immediately come up with some reasons why we don't. Even though it was probably the Holy Spirit that's prompting us or trying to say, hey, take a second and just talk to the guy. Hey, take a minute, you know, take some time. And because you're never going to have the time to do it. You're never going to probably on your own do it. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to break that intimidation that comes that silences us or immobilizes the gospel in us. Because he's put the kingdom of God inside of us, and he wants you to release that. And he wants you to begin to release the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And he wants you to release the good news of Jesus Christ. We should probably, if I could just say it this way, I think we should be looking for opportunities to do that. Yeah. Jesus went way out of his way to get to the woman at the well. Did you know that? That wasn't on his way. It was not on the way to where he was heading. He went way out of the way just so he could witness to that lady. He thought, Lord, put that spirit in me. Give me that spirit of courage and boldness to where I'll be looking for the things that you prompt to me to do, people you want me to witness to, and that type of thing. And again, on last week, talking to that guy, admittedly, my first thought was, I just felt a little small prompting about it. My first thought was, I really don't have time. You know, Lord, my basement just flooded. You sent the rain, okay? He said, yeah, but you could have put a pump in from the last time it flooded. You didn't. I was thinking, I'm too busy. I missed a whole day and a half this last week doing the whole, you know what you do when your basement floods. But you know something? That would have been the dumbest thing in the world to do. And after getting done talking with this guy, I thought, that was a divine encounter, no matter what happens. That was a divine encounter that the Holy Spirit was able to speak to this man about his life and about his eternity. And it was an amazing opportunity. So I have to break the excuses and the intimidation. And through this fast, it's going to happen. It's going to be something that begins to change. The eighth thing for this is to keep my lamp full of oil. Keep my lamp full of oil. You remember that parable, another one of those scary parables, about the 10 virgins, and as the verse on air, the 10 virgins, it's funny, five of them, the lamps were completely empty. And I just wonder, as I don't have time to go into this because that's not the purpose of this morning, but I just wonder, how's the oil in your lamp? Are you filled? And I think the oil represents the anointing, the presence of God, the Spirit of the Lord inside of our life, that we're filled with it. We're overflowing with it. We're not empty all the time. And when I feel myself becoming empty and my lamp not being full, that I would go run back to Him and say, God, I just need you to fill me up, because otherwise I will fail this day, because I'll be too busy doing it in my own strength. And when I do stuff in my own strength, how many know that's when you're too tired and you're too busy and you're too intimidated and you're too all these things to do the most important thing, and that is to preach the gospel to all nations. Amen? That is, it really is. And so I think that I wrote this statement down. If you will give God, listen to this for this next 21 days, if you will give God your attention, you know why that's scary? Yeah. My pump is still sitting outside of the hole. It's really hard to find the parts you need for a sump pump today. I was kind of driving around yesterday at Home Depot trying to get what I needed, and I saw this whole, there was like 10 guys around this sump pump area, and we're all looking, I think, for the same thing. I take off down to Nuts and Bolts, and I go down there, and I see them there too. I'm thinking, all right, they're following me. They think I have the light. But really, it's not plugged in yet. That's sad. Before this fast, listen to this. If you will give God your attention, your affection, your adoration, your thanksgiving, and praise over these next 21 days, you will find, guaranteed, a new depth of relationship with your Heavenly Father that's not an optional thing. It's a critical thing. We see that a number of times in Scriptures. And, I know none of us like to hear them, but in reality, remember the guy that came and said, Jesus, I did all these things. I kept all these commandments from my youth. And what was his word back to him? I didn't know you. I didn't know you. Now, I tell you, I read those verses, and I get a healthy fear. Because I think, where am I at today? Do I know him? When was the last time? And I wrote it down somewhere. Got my notes going here. I wrote it down somewhere. It was certainly simple and short, but it was like just ask him, when was the last time that you heard from the Holy Spirit in a conversational way and in a real way? When was the last time that you could sit down right now and say, well, this was the last time that he spoke to me? Not even about do anything, but he spoke to you as a father to a son or a father to a daughter. And you felt that fresh kind of connection thing that sometimes is the hardest thing. It's just much easier to go do stuff for God. But he's after so much more than that, and we need to dig a little deeper for that, because he's after your heart first. He's after you first. Let me wrap it up with those four areas of focus. You have your notes there. If you open up the center of those notes, and again, I really can't express to you. I just sat down one morning a couple weeks ago and was praying, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just say, just speak those eight things. He just boom gave them to me, and then speak these four things for us to focus on during the fast. And they're very simple, they're very basic, but yet they're important, and I put scriptures with each one of them. The four areas of focus over these next 21 days, however you do your fast. I am going to do a complete fast for 21 days. I want everybody to know you can live and do that. Okay? I don't expect anybody else here to do that. That's fine. But I felt that the Lord was challenging me up as the leader of the house to do that and to just... Because we are in critical days, church. Amen. We're in critical days. Yes. And we see a lot of stuff happening. Whenever things like this happen and all the dust starts swirling, you see a lot of stuff happening both outside of the church, but then you also see stuff happening inside the church. And God's wanting to stir it up. I tell you, when you can, as a believer, and I'll be real honest with you, I'm not afraid to say it. When you're as a believer and you can condone homosexuality within the context of the church, that's a problem in the church. Amen. And we just have to realize that. That's some of the soul sickness of some of the churches around now, where they would say, hey, that's okay. It's okay. Because it's just not okay. It's one of the clearest things that's not okay in the scriptures. Yeah. One of the clearest. I don't even know how you get around it. But we have to rise up to a level where we see, wow, we're in trouble. We gotta do something beyond what we're doing. So four areas of focus. Number one, personal, which has to do with the wineskins. It has to do with the wineskins and the new wineskins that I would want the Lord to give to me. So what? He can pour more wine into me. The second area is the church or community. And I gave some scriptures there that talk about the reality. We say it a lot. We pray it a lot. We believe it even more. And that is that we are here to be a part of protecting our city, covering our city, praying for our city. It's not just about us. We're going to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. Now it's about God. What can we do for others? And so as you pray, just say, Lord, help us to understand what's going on in our city so we can begin to pray against some of the things that the enemy, because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, the enemy wants to do to bring destruction. The third area is the area of the nations. And again, more scriptures there. I believe that when we look at scriptures and we read scriptures, and you'll see it in the scriptures that I gave you, that we're going to pray for safety and peace in the nations. God uses nations to protect the world. Come on, he does. He cares for those hurting people in Syria. He cares for those hurting people in Africa. He cares for those hurting people in Mexico. He cares for those hurting people around the world. But who helps to stop some of the stuff that's going on? You can hate our president all you want, but guess what? If we let him fall, it hurts the whole world. Because America is taking care of the nations. We have got a standard to some degree. And it's better than any standard anywhere else in the world. Come on, amen? Isn't it? I mean, I'm just telling you, that's how bad it is out there that we are the best standard in the world. As bad as we are. But the reality is that we've still kept Christ there. And if we can do that, if we can maintain that. If his people, he's not looking at the government today, He's looking at his people. If his people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face, he will hear their prayers and he'll answer those. But your guard as the church, our guard is more than just our city, but it's actually the world. So we need to pray for the nations. We need to pray for the nations that have some sense still, that are willing to stand up and rise up and see the same thing. We've got to help those that are hurting. Help the needy. And pray that God will turn the hearts of their leaders. Amen? And then the world. Then the world. That you would pray. God has a large redemptive plan going. He started it the moment that man sinned. He killed a lamb and he clothed Adam and Eve so that they could be protected until salvation came. He brings Christ, the Lamb of God, to the earth to do what? To save whosoever will. He's got a plan of redemption going. Satan's not in control of that. We got to understand that. He's given us the authority now to go out and do something and be a part of that. You're to be a part of that. You're not to be a nothing. You're to be a part of his greater redemptive plan. And I would just ask the Lord, God, what can I do? And there's some verses there. Now, let me just read a letter from a prophetic person as I close this morning. Just listen to this. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For the creation itself will be delivered. Come on, that's hopeful. That's telling me I think we win, church. Come on. Isn't that true? That's what I'm reading. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And now he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. God has a will for you. You have Jesus in heaven who's interceding for you. You have the greatest person in the world praying for you constantly since he ever lives to pray for you. Why would he pray for you if there wasn't a need? I don't know if you thought about that or not, but Paul told Timothy, I don't want your faith to fail. And I just wonder today, if you just bow your heads for just a moment with me as we wrap this up. Let's just take a moment here and let's just say, you know, how am I doing? Start with that conversational relationship with God. When was the last time you could really say, you could quote him, even if it's something as silly as him telling me that I should have put a pump in? That's the conversational thing going. You know what I mean? I wasn't talking to anybody else. I was talking to God. I was blaming him for the rain. And guess what? He responded. He wants to respond to you. He wants to talk with you. I think it's critical. So, Father, as we start this fast off, I pray for every person in this church, every person in this room today. Lord, your Holy Spirit would begin to quicken us as to, Lord, what we are to do and how we're to participate in this and how, God, you want to begin to transform our wineskins and change us and stir us up in a fresh way. I thank you for this next 21 days that are coming up, God. I'm asking that you would open up divine revelation to each person here. You would break addictions. You would break sin habits. You would break things, Father, that have held us back. You would break, Father, just ears that don't hear and eyes that don't see. You would break that off of us, and you would give us all a fresh insight into your glorious plan and purpose, God, and our part and our place in it. But more than that, that you would give us a way back into your presence and into that conversational relationship with you that you so long for. You so long for it. A father that longs for his sons and daughters to talk to him and to relate to him. And I thank you that you're going to help us with that over these next 21 days in a special way. Bless, God, this time. We consecrate it to you. We give it to you, Father God, and trust that you're going to speak to us, Father, on what to do and how to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say this. I know, you know, we only mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and maybe you're hearing it for the first time if you weren't here or something. We start it tomorrow. If you can't start tomorrow, start next week. Just do 14 days of it. Just do whatever it takes. But let's all try to enter into it. Let's all do something. Find out what you can do. And just all I would ask in that is just to do like David said. God, I'm not going to give you anything that doesn't cost me something. In other words, I'm going to sacrifice for it. I'm going to stretch myself a little bit. I guarantee you, I put that quote somewhere. We may not like fasting, but you'll never regret it. Amen? So let's just prepare. We start Monday again. We have a Monday men's prayer, 7 to 8 tomorrow. If you want to come and be a part of that, we're going to be praying specifically. And then the different prayer times that are in the bulletin. Let's go for it. I hope you can see the criticalness of it in the church's life. Amen? All right. Will you stand to your feet? I feel like you need to greet at least three people before you go, and bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Have an awesome week, and if you have any questions whatsoever about the fast or so forth, there is information out at the counter. Just feel free to ask somebody, and you'll get some information. God bless you. Have an awesome week.